in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Hey, there's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I do need you now. Lord, I do pray you'll fill me with your Spirit here today to preach your Word and to bring out these truths here. An example for us in your Word about not obeying your Word. Okay, and I just pray, Lord, just speak to the hearts of your people here today, and we'll give you the glory for it, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Israel had just come out of the greatest military victory they had ever witnessed. Right? They had just experienced the tremendous defeat of the city of Jericho, and they were still savoring in that amazing victory. We know the story, right? This wasn't a normal siege of a city. There were specific instructions from the Lord God on what to do. And they had to do it exactly the way God said, or it wasn't going to happen. They weren't going to be wrought a victory that day. But they were to march around the city one time per day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, the city was circled seven times. And on the last time around, the priests were to blow the trumpets. And Joshua told the children of Israel to shout, and when they shouted, the walls of the great city of Jericho came tumbling down. Right? God did that. Right? Circling around the city didn't do it. The shouting didn't do it. God did that. We serve a mighty God, and God gave the children of Israel a great victory that day at Jericho. And no doubt at this point, the children of Israel are on cloud nine. Right? They're filled with invincibility, like they think they're invincible. They think they could take any nation. They believe that they could do anything at this point. But there was a problem, right? There was a problem. As we see in our text here, there was a big problem. Israel, we have a problem here, right? Chapter 7 starts out, it disrupts the flow of victory. All the chapters leading up to chapter 7 are filled with great victory. But chapter 7 here, we have sin that has entered the camp. Defilement has stopped all forward progress. One man, Achan, right? He took of the accursed thing and he was causing serious problems for the nation of Israel. Achan, he was a soldier. He was a warrior. He was tried and true in battle, right? But he let a selfish desire conquer him. Okay? He may have been able to defeat the enemy on the battlefield, but he could not defeat the inner man. He could not conquer himself. You see, the worst enemy that you and I have is ourselves. He occupies the same skin that you occupy. He uses the same brain that you use. He uses the same hands that you use to perform your own deeds. This enemy can do you more harm than anybody else. He is the greatest handicap that you and I have in our Christian life, ourselves. And because of Achan's selfishness, because of Achan's disobedience, because of Achan's sin, Israel was defeated at Ai, and 36 men lost their life. 36 husbands, fathers, they lost their life. The only battle for the children of Israel lost in taking the promised land was a battle where the defeat came not from without, but from within. A defeat that will forever be associated with Achan's name, right? It's a reminder for us that we could be in the midst of a great church. We are. We could be in the midst of great people. We are. But let me tell you, we can witness God doing great things, but our hearts may be filled with our own selfish pride, right? Bitterness, anger, pride, lust, hate, right? Me, 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 me. We know that the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the heart. Right? That thing, that very thing that the world says to follow, follow your heart. But the Bible has said something contrary. It says the heart is deceitful above all things. All things. Pride, lust, bitterness, greed, all those things. So let's look at this here today. And let me give you some truths here about having sin in the camp. Number one, I want you to see that the children of Israel, okay, get that, the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord. Look there in verse number one. In verse number one of Joshua 7, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Hey, look, thought it was one man. Yes, it was. One man had trespassed against God. One man had been unfaithful to God. One man had broken the trust of God. One man disobeyed God. But God made it perfectly clear here that it was Israel. It was all of Israel. It was all of the children of Israel that had sinned, and not just one man. Not just Achan alone. You see, when Achan committed that sin of stealing from God, the whole people of Israel became guilty before God. That's something to think about, isn't it? The sins of one man can separate the whole group from God. And so we see that next, whenever they went into the battle, that 36 men died, that God wasn't with them. 36 men lost their lives. Why? Because God wasn't with them. The sin had separated God from the children of Israel. Their sin separated them, and there was defeat on the battlefield. Never happened before. Sin separated. All because of sin. And we get that there. If you look at verse 11, it says it also. It says, "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them." It says, "For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." You see, God's covenant was broken by one man, but in God's eyes, it was all of the children of Israel. It was all of them. They. Three times God says, they stole, and they put the stuff in their own stuff. Right? The people lied about the theft by secretly hiding it in their own belongings. And God makes it clear here that what they did with the accursed thing is sin. Okay, He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't excuse it. He called it sin. Okay, that's what we need to do. We need to see things the way God sees things. We need to call things sin that God calls things sin. Right? Do you love the things that God loves? Do you hate the things that God hates? You know, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Right? We need to see things the way God sees them, and we need to quit justifying our behavior by calling it something else. Right? We want to justify ourselves to make us feel good, but God calls it sin here. He says, they have transgressed. They have stolen. But it's interesting, isn't it, though? We know Achan did it, but why does God say Israel did it? Why does God blame the whole nation of Israel for the disobedience of one soldier? Right? Because they were a collective group. They were one people. They were God's chosen people. They were one people in the Lord, the children of Israel. It's like on the football team. Right? When the running back runs the ball in and they get a touchdown, right? We say the whole team gets a touchdown. The whole team gets the point, right? It was the whole team. And in Romans 14, verse 7, the Bible says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Look, we're not all in this by our own selves. When we sin, our sin affects other people. Right? And you know, people that, oh, it's my sin. It's nobody else's business. It's a little white sin. It's a little white lie. It's my sin and nobody else has to worry about it. But that's not true. That's not true. Sin affects the whole group. Sin within a church affects the whole group. You know, another example is when the drunk driver gets behind a wheel and drives a vehicle, he gets in an accident, runs into your vehicle, right? That causes damage to you, right? He could cause damage. He could cause death, right? One man's sin affects more than just himself. If you would, flip over, hold your place here, but flip over to Deuteronomy 23. In Deuteronomy 23 and verse 14. In Deuteronomy 23 and verse number 14. Deuteronomy 23, verse 14 says, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp. Right? God is in the midst of the camp. Sin cannot be in the camp. If sin is in the camp, God cannot be there. Sin would separate God from sin. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be what? Holy. Free of sin. Righteous, right? All those things. It says, therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he sees no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. Hey, if there's sin in the camp, God's turning away. He's there. He's in the midst. He is right there, smack dab in the middle, to protect you, to guide us, to lead us. But if there's sin, he can't be there. Sin has separated us. And God dwelt in the midst of the children of Israel, in the midst of their camp. They were a holy nation. And somebody by the name of Achan had defiled the camp. God was no longer with them. 36 men died because of it. 36 men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, the Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are one body in Christ. Christ is the head, Colossians 1:18. He's the head of the church. He bought the church. He paid for the church with His own blood. It's His church. He is the head of the church. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, the Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of your Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Hey, we're to be one. We're one body in Christ. We all have different functions within the body, right? One body to glorify God. In 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice in it, right? We're in this together. God is in the midst. We're in this together. He's protecting us. He is leading us, directing us. sin comes in, Ecclesiastes 9:18, the Bible says, but one sinner destroyeth much good. One sin. One sin destroyed the 36 men's life this day. Israel had sinned. There is sin in the camp, and hey, we need to realize that sin angers God. Sin angers God. If you don't get much out of the Bible, you got to realize sin angers God. He does not like sin, and one sinner destroys everything. If you look back there in Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 2, in Joshua 7 verse number 2 and 3, the Bible says, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. Hey, look, Joshua's doing his job here. Like every good commander, he goes in, he surveys the situation before he just jumps in. He surveyed the enemy, he surveyed their strengths, he surveyed their weaknesses. His mistake isn't in sending the spies up there, but his mistake is in assuming that God was going to be with them. God wasn't with them. God was not with them. God was not giving them the victory there. The report back only focused on the strengths of their army. It only focused on the strengths of their army and then the confidence of the children of victory, their own pride. You see, they were filled with pride. They had just witnessed God do an amazing thing. The walls of Jericho came down. The walls of Jericho couldn't come down. It was a battle fortress. It wasn't coming down. The only way it was coming down was with God. And they had witnessed that, and now they were full of pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. None of these people that we just read in those verses, none of them are saying, hey, we need to seek the Lord. Hey, if the Lord wills, we'll go in there and take the city. Hey, if the Lord wills, we'll win. But they were so overconfident, so filled with pride. And hey, they even said that we don't need our whole army. We only need 2,000 or 3,000. There's no sense in taking everybody out that's already, you know, they're resting and relaxing and they're enjoying the victory we just had. There's no sense in getting them up and going to battle. We only need about 2,000 or 3,000 and we'll wipe them out. Right? They were full of pride. What they needed to do was trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Here's the thing. The Lord never told them to go. The Lord never told them to go. Look there in verse number 4. 4 and 5, the Bible says, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. God never said go. They just decided to go. In verse 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shabarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Hey, Israel was not walking with God in faith. Israel was full of pride. Israel was full of pride. They did not seek God in His direction. They did not seek His leading in this. They were consumed with themselves and everything that they could accomplish on their own. They turned away from God and started trusting in their own self. Pride, pride, pride. Never is there any mention of anybody going to the Lord and seeking the Lord. Here's the thing. Not even Joshua, the commander, not even Joshua sought the Lord in going up against Ai. Why not, Joshua? Why not? Joshua never sought the Lord to go. I think that maybe if he had, the Lord would have said, Joshua, I'm not with you. Joshua, I'm not there. Don't go, Joshua. Joshua, don't go. Joshua, there's sin in the camp, Joshua. Joshua, you got to deal with the sin in the camp. Don't go. Hey, that would have prevented 36 men from losing their lives. That would have spared a humiliating defeat of the children of Israel that day. That should be a reminder for us. Not to seek from within our own strength. We need to seek God. We need to seek His will for our life. We need to seek what He wants us to do. His leading, right? Not what I think I want, not what I can see before me. If we go out without the Lord's will, hey, who knows what's going to happen? Death, it could happen. You could be out of the Lord's will and out of the Lord's protect. Remember, the God was in the midst of the children of Israel. He was in the midst of the camp. And when sin broke in and came in, He was no longer there to protect them. So they were basically on their own. And that's how come 36 men died. But God tells them that they will not be able to claim their inheritance as long as there was one man that clung to his sin. Everything that God had given, every victory that God had brought upon them, every great thing was pointless up to this point because sin had remained in the camp. Look there at verse number 12. Joshua 7, verse 12. The Bible says, "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you." Hey, what a lesson for us here today. What a lesson for the church. What a lesson for Gilead Baptist Church. Search my heart, O God. Is there any wicked way in me? Is there any sin in me? Is there anything that needs to be dealt with in me? Because it's not only about me. It's about the whole camp. It's about all of Israel. It's about all of Gilead Baptist Church. Is there sin in the camp of Gilead Baptist Church? Oh, you're saying, oh, it's just a little sin, preacher. It's just my sin. Nobody else needs to know about it. Well, God knows about it. God knows about it. And He'll make it known. He says in Matthew 18:20, He says, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them." Hey, I want Him in the midst of us. I want Him right smack dab in the midst of Gilead Baptist Church. I want nothing to hinder what He wants to do here. I want nothing to get in the way. I do not want any hindrances. I do not want anything to come upon this church because we have sin in our lives when we have separated God and we have lost the blessing of God. What a lesson for us, right? 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." God expects us to be holy. He expects us to clean, have a clean heart. Hey, we sin, He expects us to ask for forgiveness, to seek forgiveness, right? He expects us to obey His Word, all of it. All of it. Israel had sinned. All right. Secondly, I want to go over here that Achan had sinned against the Lord as well. Not only had Israel sinned, we know that Achan had sinned as well. So if you look there in verse 19, Joshua 7, we'll read a few verses here, and starting in Joshua 7, 19, says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto Him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." Right? Joshua saying, hey, Achan, don't hide it anymore. Come clean. Don't hide it. Right? Verse 20. "And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done." And get this in verse 21. He explains. He says, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted." Might want to underline that word. "Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." Hey, he looked, he saw, he took it, he wanted it, he coveted it. Here we have Joshua had pressed Achan to confess the truth before God. Hey, it's time to come clean. Today is the day of reckoning. Do not continue in your sin. Hey, is there sin in the camp? You got to confess it. Your sin was against God. You had sinned against God. You must confess it now. Achan needed to give the glory back to God. He had sinned. That sin had separated us. And it's interesting, too, because Achan had time to repent. If we're not going to read them all, but in verse 13 and 14, right, God says, let's look at it. In verse number 13, it says, "Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Right? Tomorrow. In verse 16, and so Joshua rose up early in the morning. Right? This is the next day. Achan had time to repent. He didn't repent. Throughout the investigation and everything that's going on, Achan never came clean. He didn't repent. He continued to attempt to hide his sin. But he had time to come clean. That's a key for us today. The only way we can come clean to God is to confess our sin. Confession must be made. I mean, Achan did a foolish thing. We read the story and we say, Achan did a foolish thing. Why did he do that? Why would he think he could rob God and hide it from God? Nobody can hide it from God. In Amos 9:3, the Bible says, "And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them." And you think you can hide in the sea? God says, "I'm bringing the serpent. He's going to bite you. It's going to hurt." Now, you can't hide. Do you think you hide on the mountain? No. Think you hide in the sea? No. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment." Everything. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Achan was aware and he fully knew of the orders. Right? This wasn't a surprise to Achan. He couldn't say, "Hey, I thought. I didn't know. Hey, I didn't know. You didn't tell me." No, if you turn back to Joshua chapter 6, he got the briefing, right? He got the rules of engagement briefing beforehand. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 17, read a couple of verses here. Joshua 6:17, it says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord." Everything in it is to be accursed to the Lord. "Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." Verse 18. "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." He had the rule of engagement. He was warned. He had God telling them what not to do. If you take it, you're going to trouble Israel. You're going to bring a curse. Verse 19. "But all the silver and gold, the vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord." I might want to underline that too. "Consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Hey, here's the rules of engagement. Keep yourself from it. Do not take it. Right? But Achan disobeyed the Lord, and he chose to do what he wanted to do. You say, "How can that be? I would never do that." Yes, we would. Because we have this flesh. We have our old nature. We have this devil, right? James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Every time. Every time. Achan was enticed with his own lust. He saw. He coveted. He wanted. He took it. Right? How many of us are there today? Right? We look at something, we want it, and we're willing to do whatever it takes. But you know what? The Bible warns over and over, those are the destructive ways of life. They're destructive. It's this very same thing with Adam and Eve. All the fruit looked so good, didn't it? It looked so good. Right? David with Bathsheba, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Right? David saw a beautiful woman. Oh, it looked good. Right? He looked. He saw. He coveted. He took. There in Joshua, go back to Joshua 7 and verse 21. Joshua 7 and verse 21. Achan says, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." Achan, where'd you go wrong? Why would you do that? You already been told, you were warned not to do it. You just got the briefing, right? But are we any different? Are we any different today? We get the rules of engagement every week here at Gilead Baptist Church. We get the rules of engagement. We're without excuse. When the Word of God is preached, we get the preaching of the Word of God and how to be saved and how to live holy lives, and we're without excuse. Are we hearers of the Word or are we doers of the Word? Which is it? Do we just come and soak it in and before we hit the doors to leave, everything is gone? Everything that was preached and taught here today is gone, right? Or are we going out those doors and are we being doers of the Word? Right? We're taking what we've learned here and we're getting it all and we're going out the doors and we're using it in our lives and in our witnessing with other people. Are we doers of the Word or are we just hearers only? Hey, we got to obey it all. We can't pick and choose. Achan picked and choose what he wanted to obey. He picked and choose what he wanted to obey. He wanted to claim the victories, right? The battle to be won. He wanted to claim the victories on the battlefield, but he didn't want to listen to the Lord totally. Achan made a few mistakes. Let me share with you a few mistakes that Achan made. Achan's first mistake here was that he looked at the accursed thing a second time. Here's what I mean by it. You ever see something that catches your eye? It catches your eye, but then you do a double take on it. You look at it again. That's what Achan did. He saw it, and he knew he wasn't supposed to take it. He saw it, and he did a double take. He looked again, right? He may not have been able to not see it the first time, but he chose to look at it the second time. He chose it, right? I think of Joseph with Potiphar's wife. Hey, Achan should have just ran. He should have just got out of there. Make like Joseph and get out, right? His second thing, I want you to see this. His second mistake was he renamed the treasures and he called them spoils. Look there in verse 21. He says, when I saw among the spoils, God never called them spoils. All right, God never called them spoils. They were not spoils. They were the Lord's treasures, if you remember that. They were the Lord's treasures. And here's my point. They belonged to the Lord. They belonged to the Lord thy God. They weren't for the taking. God said, don't take. Achan took them. He renamed them. He called them the spoils. And that's not what God says. Hey, when God says something in a certain way, He means what He says. Right? He means sin is sin. He means that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Hey, he means that in Revelation 21 that we looked at today, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This heaven, this earth is going to be burned up. That's exactly the way it's going to be. God meant what He says. He means what He says. And we got to quit calling evil good and good evil in this world. So many people want to call, hey, the evil good and good evil. In Isaiah 5:20, the Bible says, woe unto them. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If God says something is wrong, we don't get to decide and have a conversation about it. We don't get to, well, let's debate about it. Let me get a couple of guys in here. What do you think God meant about this? No, God said it. Thus saith the Lord, and He meant what He said. And we just need to get on board with what He said. God said it, that settles it, period. A third mistake he made was he coveted. Coveted, right? He saw it. He wanted it. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. All he had to do was enjoy the victory. The victory was there. All he had to do was enjoy the victory and instead of imagining in his heart what it would be like to own some of that gold and that silver. Oh, it would be so nice if I had some of that gold and that silver and that Babylonish garment. That I just got to have that. That is so nice. Let me take it, right? He coveted. Another thing he did was to think he could get away with it. He thought he could get away with it by hiding it. And you know where he hid it? He hid it in his tent. Under his tent. In Numbers 32 and verse 23, Numbers 32:23, the Bible says, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You can't hide your sin. Achan thought he could hide his sin. He couldn't. You and I might think we can hide our sin. We can't. God will find out. God already knows, right? I just wonder, what was Achan thinking? What was he thinking? Did he think that God would not see him? Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are opened and that are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Hey, he sees it all. You can't hide from him. Okay? All he had to do was wait just a couple more days. There was another battle, and he could have gathered all the spoils that he wanted to. All he had to do was wait. Israel had sinned, and thirdly here I want you to see that Achan's household was destroyed. Achan and all of his household was destroyed. Look there in verse 22, in Joshua 7 and verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters. And his sons and his daughters too, right? Get that? And his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent. And get this. And all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And get this. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them. Them, plural, not just him, his whole family. After they had stoned them with stones. Achan and his entire family, everything that he owned, even his animals, had been burnt, destroyed, killed. They'd given their hearts to what God said was accursed. The silver, the gold, the Babylonish garment. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? As he's standing there and his kids are being stoned to death before his eyes. Was it worth it? Was it worth it to take those little bit of silver and gold? No different today, though. Most people today, they'll sell their soul to get fame. They'll sell their soul to get fortunes. They'll sell their soul to get 1 minute of fame, riches, whatever the case might be. But the end, they lose both their soul and their riches. Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What does it matter? What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? In Achan's case, what does it profit you that you stole this and it was left under your tent, never to be used or anything, and you had to witness your whole family being stoned, put to death? Look there in verse 15. You remember, he had the warning. This wasn't news to him. He was warned. In verse 15, the Bible says, "And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." Judgment had been announced. It was going to happen. Achan and his entire family and all their possessions were taken. They were executed. All because of a little gold and silver. This is a reminder in the Word of God as a very serious warning. Like, God means what He says, and we need to take heed to God's Word. God means what He says. We have to obey His Word. Achan took God's Word lightly, and look what happened. Oh, he didn't really mean that I couldn't take this, right? This was the spoils. This is no good. No, that was the Lord's. It belonged to the Lord, right? God means what He says. In verse 26, as we wrap this up here, in verse 26, it says, "And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." Hey, look, if we want God to restore us from sin and bless us, we must deal properly with our sin. We must confess our sin. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Hey, Achan took God's word lightly. Don't take God's word lightly. Do what He says. Confess it. Hey, Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Hey, if there's sin in my heart, I got to get it right. I got to get right with the Lord. I got to confess it. Hey, let me ask you this. Are you holding on to something, some sin in your life? Are you holding on? Are you holding out thinking God won't come to you? Are you holding out until God comes to you? Listen, at that point, it's too late. When God comes to you, it's judgment day. It's judgment time. Achan had till the next day to get right, to confess it. He had at least that amount of time to get right, to repent. He waited and he waited and he waited. We need to judge ourselves before God judges us. And for us to have a relationship with God, for it to be restored, we have to have sin removed. And why is that? Because God is holy. As we saw from our text, God is holy, and sin has separated God from the children of Israel. Hey, it's a promise. All we have to do is confess it. Get right. Seek Him. Turn it over to Him. And hey, don't wait till He comes to us. Don't wait till He comes to you. Take it to Him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Hey, there was sin in the camp. Sin in the camp. 36 men lost their lives. They didn't need to. They did not need to lose their lives. Some lessons here learned for Joshua, no doubt. Some lessons learned for us, no doubt. But here's the thing. Don't wait. Don't wait. Be sure your sin will find you out. Confess it. Forsake it. Get it right with the Lord and give it to Him. He's a loving God who will forgive all of our sins if we ask. Let's pray.